This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes, it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Homeroom, yes, it is. Johnny Lupinacci, my friend, Jess, producer. What's happening, people?
Hey, Tim, it's good. How are you doing, man? It's so good to be here with both of you. Start this week off right, man. I love the homeroom. Sets us up for an awesome week, and sure it does. Is bound to be an awesome week. So glad to be here with you both.
You know, my favorite times in homeroom, thinking about that in high school, was that little moment when you could kind of lean over to your friend and talk a little bit about how the weekend, particularly Monday morning homeroom, that what did you do this weekend? I'm not going to go into a conversation about what you guys did this weekend. However, it was a beautiful fall weekend where I was playing in the leaves. Just leave it at that. I was playing in the leaves. And Jess, Johnny, they were real leaves, not artificial leaves either.
I love that. And you know what? So much playoff football, like we talked about in our Friday night lights and first down session. So hopefully if you caught that on Friday, get it. If not, go back and download that podcast and listen to us talking about eight player football. And in fact, if you have a comment you'd like to give, reach out, send us a message to the mailbag 608-557-8577. And I'll tell you, Tim, we've been getting some calls. And so listeners, we appreciate those calls and we're excited. We've been building up some special episodes just to address some of your interests and your comments. And in fact, have a special plan for social justice education and more about what does it mean to be activist teachers? But before we get into that kind of fun stuff, let's kick off the homeroom. What's happening? What's going on in the world of education?
Well, Tim, I just heard you say that you were playing in some real, genuine leaves, certainly not artificial leaves.
Right.
Well, there's been some news about some, artificial intelligence. Shall we dig in?
Let's dig in.
Okay. The 74 new survey says U.S. teachers' colleges lag on AI training. In the nearly 2 years since generative artificial intelligence burst into public consciousness, U.S. schools of education have not kept pace with the rapid changes in the field. Only a handful of teacher training programs are moving quickly enough to equip new K-12 teachers with a grasp of AI fundamentals. And fewer still are helping future teachers grapple with larger issues of ethics and what students need to know to thrive in an economy dominated by the technology.
So, Johnny, a little pop shot at the our places of occupation, colleges, schools, and departments of education, being a little slow on the artificial intelligence uptick. This is an interesting one because as the survey in the article in the 74 point out, this is okay. We're only 2 years into the kind of in your face deluge of artificial intelligence, the generative large language models. The reality that teacher colleges, the schools of education, those places where people learn to be teachers, the fact that we're not implementing that into the curriculum directly isn't necessarily surprising, and I wouldn't take it as to say, therefore, it's a problem. I will, though, wonder, and this is me, Johnny, the kind of inside look, I will say from an inside look of the places I've been, I got to tell you that a majority of the what used to be my colleagues at other places and some schools of education that I've been associated with, there is a real reluctance and even a resistance to admitting that artificial intelligence is potentially some form of a pedagogical tool that we should be showing future teachers how they need to use it. And I say that there's a resistance, an active resistance. Why? I gotta say a lot of people are afraid of it, but there is still this fear of going, I don't know what to do in this new world. And I think that fear needs to be addressed largely from the standpoint, how are we in colleges of education who are semi-comfortable with it? How are we helping our colleagues get ready for it and therefore then introducing it into that curriculum? Those are my initial thoughts, Johnny.
Yeah, Tim, I mean, the article doesn't shock me. Colleges of education, higher education in general has to keep up with things. And I'll just speak from my own, implementation of AI. It's been fast moving, right? And so I'm not speaking as an ed tech researcher. That's a whole area of study a lot of our colleagues, focus on is educational technologies. And I would say by and large, AI is a big piece of one of the many things they do. Also looking at like the different VR stuff that's going on in classrooms and all the different ways that universally designed learning can be complemented by educational technologies. And I would group AI into that. Like the workshops that I've been able to participate in over the last year, the AI technologies have only gotten more advanced in a really short period of time. I think we can like loop back around to one of our guests, Mark Watkins, and remember he made the comment, this idea of us being behind. I mean, we got to take it with a relative grain of salt, because AI is moving fast, right? And I think that's one of the exciting, but also lockups for people. You know, there are different kinds of learners leading learners out there. And as one of those, I know I've been able to lean into, hey, this is happening. Our students have access to it as future teachers. Our future students have all kinds of ways that they're integrating their day-to-day learning, whether it's formal or informal, with AI technologies. And you know, Tim, I'm excited about the workshops I've been able to be a part of. I want to put a plug out there for AQ, the ACUE, right? Great organization for college teachers to link into and learn about best practices around these kinds of cutting edge things like artificial intelligence. And Tim, so it doesn't surprise me that we'd hear that it's quote unquote behind. But I'm also optimistic and hopeful that we're moving past some of the ways that we've understood AI as a tool for teachers, and we're moving into the best use of technology. And I'm gonna come back to this: the best classroom technologies, the best learning technologies, are in the hands of the students. Right? It's when the students are engaged, and it's complementing their learning. It's not replacing having a great teacher or having an awesome classroom that you get to be a learner in, but it's having the tools. And I'll come back to it, Tim, if we loop back to our longtime listeners, we'll remember. Tim and Johnny, we used to
push a lot.
And we used to say, remember when they introduced advanced calculators? Yeah, we're a little old, and I'm a math teacher who's been around for a minute. I remember the debates around like, can we and should we actually be using graphing calculators in these algebra courses and whatnot? And it wasn't a matter of should we, it's how should we. Right. And I see this as a similar technology. So I've been pretty excited. I've been using AI as a tool in my classroom for both my elementary school teachers who are just about to become social studies teachers and for my graduate students who are just about to be professors and researchers in ed. So I've seen it as a great tool, but there's been a learning curve.
I was going to say, you're using it. There's nothing systematic, essentially. And I say there probably isn't yet in colleges, departments, schools of education to say that this goes into the curriculum, teaching and learning with AI. Do want to push, though, a little bit on you, because talking about Mark Watkins, I know you want to jump into that too. I'm not so sure that I think part of the problem is seeing this as ed technology, as just another ed tech, and not seeing it as the potential for a cultural change, because I don't see AI as simply the new calculator. I see this as a total change of the way we could be approaching teaching and learning if we had the ability to realize that this isn't an ed tech tool. This is now a new way of iterating the things we like to know, and then the ability for us to engage way more of the different learning styles that we have. And as an educator, my opportunity with artificial intelligence to now reach multiple learners with different ways and different pedagogies has never been this, simple is the wrong word, but the opportunity to engage multiple learning styles by understanding how this technology could be used in that way, I see a place for a formal implementation of teaching and learning AI, particularly in colleges and schools of education. It needs to be in there. It doesn't need to be, or Johnny, as you say, you're using it, my colleague's using it, somebody down there is using it. When is it going to be systematically implemented into how we prepare future teachers? That's where I think this article is really trying to push us to say, should we systematically, intentionally be inserting artificial intelligence into the curriculum of future teachers?
Well, Tim, I'm going to come back to two things, right? First, I'm going to say, keep drinking the Kool-Aid. All right. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid because I think you just described an educational tool, right? And I think it's a powerful one. But I know, Tim, that you're on the bus of, hey, this is a cultural shift. This is a massive change. This is going to rewrite sort of our understanding to teaching and learning. And I'm going to say, keep drinking that Kool-Aid, my guy, because it's folks like you who are going to help us better understand what I'm going to dig in and say is an powerful educational tool and part of the everyday lives of our students. So I think we're meeting in the middle there. I'm not quite drinking the Kool-Aid yet, but I agree with Tim. This is really part of everyone's life. And I'm also going to clap back a little bit and say, in all of the circles I'm in, not only just my own institution, but in peer groups and in learning groups, and especially I'm in a really great learning cohort right now on AQ in a creating an inclusive classroom. Like, how do we learn to teach better? It's part of the conversation in there, and everyone's sharing that it's starting to surface as a formal discussion in their colleges and across campuses. So now I know in mine, there are official statements coming out of our provost office on how we should and can be integrating and engaging with teaching using AI, but also about AI and the tools, as well as a journal editor, I'll speak a little bit about the academic aspect. All of the journals, so I'm an editor of the Social Justice Journal, and also work in a capacity as editorial board member and reviewer and an author for several journals. All of them have formal statements about how they present guidelines for the use of AI in writing and reviewing. And so I would say, Tim, I think, again, behind putting it in scare quotes, I think we're catching up. But I would say that I am beginning to see lots of systematic implementation of how to engage with and say, yes, it's here. Yes, it's part of the everyday lives of our students and of us, whether we're leaning into it or not, because there certainly is a lot of resistance to it. Just like there was with the calculator, Tim, just like there was when my chalkboards got replaced with whiteboards and then the whiteboards with smartboards. Just like when I went from the overhead projector and my cool sunglasses that I'd put on to do math problems on the overhead projector to, you know, having a computer that had a projector attached to it. I know this is a much more powerful and dynamic tool than those things, but I'm grouping it in with those tools, my guy.
Man, you go for it. Okay, maybe a little bit there. Speaking of the two, learning more very systematically, I know you're in that part too. And I am just beginning my Association of College and University Educators course, leveraging AI to develop course resources. Just started getting into that. So can't wait to bring some of that learning very specifically to, you know, what we do here, because we say on Busted Pencils, hey, we're out here pushing the envelope. And man, if you want to learn some of this cutting edge stuff, you want to come and listen to Busted Pencils, or you want to call us, leave a message in the mailbag, 608-557-8577. Hey, you know what? I challenge you. I want somebody to create a bot that calls our line and asks us an artificial intelligence question.
Do we want that
actually posed? No. I don't know. Why not?
Maybe, Tim, we need some guidelines here.
I was going to say, Jess, we need some guidelines. And you know what? Actually, too, I think we have another news story, don't we?
We do, in fact. So, Johnny, you were just talking about how we need some of these more systemic guidelines for how to use AI, that this is going to be a tool in our classrooms. It's something that we need to know how to use, what the limits are of how we can use it, and how it can be used to enhance learning, not substitute. So our second news story is on this topic. K-12 Dive, AI discipline lawsuit highlights the need for school policies. The U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts is set to hear a case next week in which a student's parents are questioning Hingham Public Schools' discipline of their son for using artificial intelligence on a research paper outline and rough draft. Hingham High School's decision to address the use of AI by the senior by lowering his grade and issuing a weekend detention excluded him from the National Honor Society, and it negatively impacted his admissions to elite universities, according to the lawsuit. The high school, plaintiffs say, did not have AI policies as they relate to cheating and plagiarism in their handbook at the time. Therefore, the school's accusations of cheating, plagiarism, and academic misconduct or dishonesty constituted statements of threats, intimidation, and coercion because, quote, such arbitrary and capricious sentiment, end quote, was not based on any official policy.
I agree with this one. Go ahead, Johnny, you jump in first.
I mean, this is, again, one of those precedent-setting important deliberations on how are we understanding that AI is part of our students' lives. And so if a student has access to these things and we don't, as educators, have a clear understanding or clear policy around what we want you and don't want you to do, right, then it's gray area. And so I see both sides of this, and I see hopeful outcome is that we will actually have more policies around that, because do students need to learn how to draft and outline and, you know, write rough drafts? Like, yeah, that's a hard skill that as someone who teaches writing, I know I want young people to know how to do. That said, I also know that AI can do a really good job at that skill. So I want to acknowledge that and say to teachers out there, this is why it's important for us to introduce how you might use AI to do this, but how I want you to know how to do it also so that you can know whether or not the AI you're using is doing a good job at this, right? And so this is where good teaching is going to catch up with these. And it's unfortunate that these incidents are what's going to bring us there, but I think it's really important. And it's a shame that incident is now causing some damage to that young person's future. So I don't agree with that. And I think there's really important rights here involved in terms of saying, like, hey, hold on a second. It wasn't clear whether I could or couldn't use this or how exactly to engage this tool. And so again, that's where we're catching up. You know, I'm reminded of a quote that, I'm drawing a blank on exactly who said it. So I'll butcher it and I'll just say, I'm borrowing this from a really wise person, and then we'll come back around some point to clarify it. But technology moves faster than our human capacity oftentimes to understand the moral and ethical implications or the outcomes of using technologies. And that was in a comment talking about social media, you know, and TikTok, mm-hmm, and Twitter and all these things. It's changed the landscape of how information is shared. I see AI as a similar technology. It's changing how information and assignments are meaningful and designed, and how we learn to do something like design, like draft an outline and a rough draft of a paper. So I would hope teachers out there, you begin to learn how to use AI, you begin to implement that into those skills, and be really clear and have strong policies that are clear around when you don't want students to use AI and how they might appropriately put to use these powerful tools. So, you know, I think all in all, good was going to come from this. Just, you know, sometimes it's got to be a little bit of a rough situation to get there.
It is a rough situation. And this idea too here is, remember, this is a student who was accused of plagiarism, right? And though we've had many shows on what does it mean to plagiarize, we all remember whether we were learning to do that first research paper in high school. You know, I was putting my notes on note cards and learning how to rewrite, reword, because the last thing you wanted to do was ever get caught for plagiarism. Well, in the age of AI, the opportunity to plagiarize seems like it could be very easy. And so is using artificial intelligence a form of plagiarism? Not sure we've really answered that question truly fully yet. And so on this issue, if you're going to accuse of plagiarism, first of all, do you have a clear definition of what it means to you to be plagiarizing in the new AI world? Because it's not that simple. And you got to have conversations and discussions, because anytime, and I'll tell you, before AI, making the accusation of plagiarism, academic dishonesty, is a serious, serious accusation that has long-term ramifications on those who are accused. And then if sometimes found guilty, you've got to be sure of this. And so in this moment of AI usage, boy, the best thing you can have are clear policies. And in fact, some of the learning I've been doing on using AI with students is to develop those policies also in connection and in a collective conversation with your students, because when you do that together as a team, the clarity then becomes also a learning opportunity as to how these policies can be put together and how we can use them. And so developing this, you know, this goes back to the old, some of the classroom management techniques that I learned way back in the days. Develop your policies in collaboration with your students, because guess what? Anybody who participates in creating the rules, typically they tend to also then apply and use those rules. Man, artificial intelligence, teachers' colleges, colleges of education. Okay, Johnny says it's a calculator. I say, it's a culture thing. Whatever. We'll figure that out, though. We love that. Artificial intelligence, plagiarism. Let's have clear policies. Johnny and Jess, homeroom, thanks for busting pencils.
And now for your moment of zen. Everything in history, once it has happened, looks as if it had to happen exactly that way. We can't imagine any other. But I am convinced of the uncertainty of history, of the possibility of surprise, of the importance of human action in changing what looks unchangeable. And don't forget to check out this week's Class in Session with Pamela Sackett on emotion literacy. And keep busting pencils.